Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, welcome to worship this Easter Sunday morning. You are most welcome here. And let us light the Christ candle, welcoming the Spirit of Jesus amongst us once more. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. God is alive. New birth is given. Hope is alive. A new age is dawning. Joy is alive. Redemption is here. Love is alive. Death cannot harm us. We are alive. New life is within us. The church is alive. God's Spirit is within us. Let us celebrate the God of resurrection. Let's pray together in joy. God of renewed presence, on this Easter day, we know that with you all things are possible. May the good news of Easter joy fill our lives and make our hearts glad. Hallelujah. Amen.
Easter Sunday is a day which we inherently know is all about new beginnings. And because of that, this is the one Sunday of the year that we do not do a traditional prayer of confession, confessing our sins, but instead we say together an affirmation of our faith. So will you join me in that? The risen Christ lives today, present to us and the source of our hope. In response to who Jesus was and to all he did and taught, to his life, death, and resurrection, and to his continuing presence with us through the Spirit, we celebrate him as the Word made flesh, the one in whom God and humanity are perfectly joined, the transformation of our lives, the Christ.
Today's scripture reading is found in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and we're reading from the Message translation. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, gasping for breath. "They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping in to look, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief that was used to cover his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking he was a gardener, said, "Sir, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, Rabboni, meaning teacher. Jesus said, Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples. I saw the Master, and she told them everything he said to her. This is God's word for us today.
Some days, with stories from the Bible, people like me are almost superfluous because the stories are just so incredible, so meaningful, and so central for us that they just pretty much speak for themselves. And sometimes anything we try to say about them can, if we aren't careful, be a bit of an exercise in gilding the proverbial lily. For me, today is really one of those days because this is such a rich and wonderful part of our story. As we heard, Mary Magdalene got up very early and went to Jesus' tomb. Remember, she hadn't just been a follower of his, she was a close friend. She was one of the few people who had actually been with him while he was on the cross and died. John doesn't tell us what compelled Mary to go to the tomb that morning, but if you have ever visited a loved one's grave, you may well be able to imagine what might have been her motivation. She was probably longing for some way to get a sense of his presence with her again, to feel close to him. Well, as we heard, eventually, wonderfully, she would get much more than she bargained for. When she first arrived at the tomb, she was shocked to discover that the stone that had been blocking the tomb closed had been moved. Now, at that point, she didn't even look in. She just very quickly made the assumption that probably most of us would have made given the circumstances. She thought someone had taken Jesus' body. One last indignity inflicted on her beloved friend. So Mary ran back to find the other disciples and tell them what had happened. And when she did, Peter and one of them ran to the tomb to see for themselves. Seems there was a lot of running going on this morning. And that's actually an important clue for us because it tells us something about the state everybody would have been in. The disciple who went with Peter isn't directly named here, but we are pretty sure it was probably John, the youngest of Jesus' inner circle, and the same person who would actually write this whole gospel years later. Well, John's young legs got him to the tomb first, but he didn't go in right away either. He just looked in from the outside. On the other hand, Peter, true to form, charged right in when he got there. He saw the strips of cloth that Jesus' body had been wrapped in, lying in a pile where his body should have been. And he saw the cloth that would have been covering Jesus' head, laying a little ways away. Now, we're not told what Peter thought when he saw all of this, but John does tell us that when he went into the tomb, he saw and believed. Now, to be fair, we're not entirely sure what he believed, because he also says right after that that at that point, they still didn't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Early on that first Sunday morning, Jesus' followers were still pretty much in the dark about what they were witnessing. Peter and John went back to the house where they were staying, but Mary didn't. She stayed at the tomb. She was crying, clearly overwhelmed with grief. She finally found the strength to look into the tomb for herself. And when she did, she got to see something different than Peter and John had seen. There were two angels that were sitting in the place where Jesus had lain. They asked her why she was crying, and she explained someone had taken Jesus' body and she didn't know where they'd put him. Remember, she'd gone there to be able to try to feel close to Jesus once again. But she ended up feeling like he was further away than ever, maybe gone for good. And that moment of pain is the moment. The moment when she turned around and saw someone standing there, but clearly did not realize who it was until he said her name. I have to tell you that this is one of the most precious moments in the whole of Scripture for me. Jesus said her name, probably in the way she would have heard him say it countless times before. And when she heard him say her name in that way, all of her grief and her disbelief dissolved. It really was him. As unbelievable as this all must have seemed, as unbelievable as it still can seem, Jesus was alive. In those moments, I'm sure everything else from that crazy morning probably faded away for Mary, except the wonderful sight of seeing him standing there with her. It's hard to imagine what that would have been like on one hand, and on the other hand, oh, can't you just imagine it? Well, as much as Mary probably wished it was otherwise, Jesus explained fairly quickly that Mary could not stay there with him. She had work to do. She needed to go and tell the other disciples the incredible news. It seems that Jesus himself shared this sense of urgency that had everyone running all over the place that morning. So Mary did go, as Jesus had instructed. She told them all what had happened. And in the process, she actually became our first apostle. There is so much to this, so many things for us to meditate on in this story. This is a wonderful one to pray through. It would have been a crazy scene, made all the more incomprehensible because of all the emotions that would have been swirling around for everyone involved. Of course, there was grief. He died 3 days earlier. And we all know that grief has the ability to really complicate things for any of us. There would also have been fear that the Romans had stolen his body. There would have been a great deal of confusion about what it all meant, and astonishment at finding the tomb in that state. There was that beautiful gift of faith that we see springing to life in young John. And perhaps most importantly in those moments, suddenly there would have been hope once again, as they started to realize that maybe Jesus' death hadn't been the end. You see, there wasn't just one resurrection that morning. When Jesus rose from the dead, so did his friends and followers' hope. They had believed that he really was the Messiah, the one who had been sent by God to bring all of God's promises into being. And because of him, they had been so hopeful for their future and for the future of the world. But when he died on the cross, it seemed clear that that mission was over, that his work had failed. And so all of the hope that they'd placed in him had died with him. That's why their first assumption was such a reasonable one, that his body had been moved, or worse, stolen. In the early hours of that first Sunday morning, it seems that it never even entered their minds that Jesus might have been resurrected. That's why John added that little comment about them still not understanding the scriptures that had said that he would have to rise from the dead. Now, as incredible and surprising as Jesus' resurrection was, with the gift of hindsight, we can see that it really didn't come entirely out of the blue. In the Old Testament, which is the Hebrew Bible, the Bible that Jesus' Jewish followers would have known well, there are passages that speak about resurrection in general. The prophet Daniel foretold a day when the dead would awake. And Job proclaimed that even after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. So the notion of there being life beyond death was not unheard of. And some of the Hebrew scriptures that speak at length about the Messiah seem to specifically foretell his resurrection. Most notably, Isaiah's prophecy that after he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. So as John said, there were scriptures that had said this would happen. And you know, even if those scriptures weren't fresh in the disciples' minds, one might have expected that Jesus' own words to them might have been. On at least three occasions, he had explained to his 12 disciples that he was going to have to die. But each time he told them that, he also told them that on the third day he would be raised to life. But somehow they missed that part. And we probably shouldn't be too judgmental about that. Resurrection's a pretty big thing to try to get your head around. And I think there's probably a number of reasons why they missed it. First, when someone you love tells you that they're going to die, it's incredibly upsetting. Your first thought is that they have to be wrong. They can't possibly die. Especially at 33 years old, in the prime of their life and calling. Jesus' disciples got stuck on his death, and they probably never even really had a chance to try to process his promise to rise 3 days later. It's also true that some things are just too big for us to fathom, and the fact that Jesus was resurrected was obviously too big for most of his disciples to get their heads around on that first morning. It's still too big for many people who are considering the Christian faith to grasp. And if we're going to be really honest, even some of us who are committed to the Christian faith struggle with the idea from time to time. It just seems to defy reason, or at least what we usually think of as reason. So there's that. It's not reasonable to think about somebody dying and then rising to life. But, and maybe this is the real kicker, there's also the fact that some promises just seem to be too big to hope for. We dare not hope that it might really be possible that death is not the end for us. That there really might be life beyond death. What if we're wrong? For some of us, it's better to be sure and right. Better than being bitterly disappointed. Sadly, sometimes life teaches us not to wish for too much. Well, friends, today is the day we recalibrate. Today is the day we remember these events that are not just a made-up story, events that are real, events that were witnessed, and events that were recorded. Today we remember that Mary saw Jesus risen, very much alive. Today we remember that all of his other disciples saw him, talked with him, even ate with him in the following days. Today we remember that, as the Apostle Paul has reported, on one occasion there were more than 500 people who saw the risen Christ. And so today we realize again that Jesus kept his promise. He did exactly what he said he would do. he rose on that third morning. And with him, so did our hope for ourselves, for our loved ones, our hope for the entire world. Friends, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. We worship you in all of your glory on this Easter. As we celebrate the new kingdom that you offer us, may we come in gratitude and love that we may be formed into your people and strengthened in your service. May we reach out to people in the coming weeks who are lonely, who are struggling with pain or sorrow, that they may experience your love through each of us. Help each of us to regularly offer your love with no judgment, but rather acceptance. As we continue that thought of no judgment, help each of us to look at difficult situations or people with your eyes, particularly as we evaluate the candidates for the federal election. We ask that each of them share your love with we voters as we listen to their points of view. There is a great deficit in the amount of aid available around the world. For example, it is agonizing to see the starving children in the Sudan. Help each country offer assistance to the best of their ability, as well as we private citizens in the days ahead. Climate change continues to be one of concern, particularly when countries are reducing the impact of environmental policies. Help each of us in this country to be attentive to the needs of our citizens as we consider changes to environmental policy. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Considering the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has given for us, it is our joy to return a portion of what he has provided to him for the building of his kingdom. Let's pray the offertory prayer with gratitude. O God, not only do we need to hear the good news of the resurrection, but people everywhere who are living in despair and without hope need to hear it too. Bless these gifts, we pray, and use them that others may be brought to share in our joyous celebration of Christ's resurrection. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go from here as witnesses of what you have seen and heard. Share God's love with those you meet. Bring hope to those who are in despair. Live lives of gratitude and praise. And may the love of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit be with you and among you until we meet again. Amen.
Oh, why? Heaven's praise is silent in those hours of darkness. Your Holy Spirit brooding around that empty throne. Until the declaration needs